T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jerry Jones was on one yesterday. Hey, welcome to the show, oh, yeah. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to the top of the draft in just a moment, but we've got to take a detour here because the Cowboys and every team generally holds a press conference before the draft. They're usually pretty short. They're usually pretty innocuous. Like, there's not much that a GM really says before this because nothing's happened yet. So here come the Cowboys, who've got Jerry, Stephen Jones, and Mike McCarthy up there on the dais. And it went an hour. And it was not even about the draft. It was all about how the Cowboys have done nothing in free agency. Mm-hmm. They've sat this entire free agency out. It was all about still trying to convince the public and the Cowboy fans that they want Dak Prescott as their quarterback, and how they still are somehow find themselves and believe they are all in. Yeah. It was rambling. It was at times incoherent. They were trying to give this, kind of a lecture about the salary cap, like no one understands it. All in all, I don't think it accomplished what they thought it was going to accomplish.
Well, it made me realize we spent a lot of time since the Super Bowl in early February talking about the Dallas Cowboys offseason, and it dawned on me we've been completely wasting our time because we've been using something called logic. There is none of that going on. You could hear it in Dallas. There's no logic going on. So I think everything we know about how football teams operate, I think Jerry's turning on its head. He keeps saying we're all in when they're the exact opposite of all in. Everything they've done is not all in. And now he keeps saying we're all in. So up is down, left is right. Every dogs and cats living together in Dallas.
Yeah.
Basically, he's on a different path. He just is. So that's why we've been arguing a lot. Will they re-sign Dak Prescott? Now, honestly, I think you might reasonably throw your hands in the air, say, I have no idea what this team is doing because they're going on their own path.
Yeah, let's hear a little of Jerry. So about the all in, let's hear cut 7. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys are all in on free agents.
The question is, in my mind, about all of this, how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming up, and we're all in with this draft, and we're all in with knowing that you have to go. You can't have we've had adjustments.
Yeah, you can actually hear Stephen Jones. If we can isolate, Stephen Jones is great. He's such a great sidekick for Jerry. He's a son, obviously, but he's also such a great sidekick because he provides the laugh track when things get uncomfortable. And the moment that Jerry says all in, you hear Steven, he's like, oh.
We're all in with these young guys coming up.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to clean this up later.
Dad.
with every reporter in the room.
Dad, what are you doing here? Oh, my God. I think a lot of us have been in that situation where I think now my kids are like, Dad, why are you doing that? That's one of those situations.
You know, everybody who signs Eric Kendricks and Royce Freeman, that's all in on everyone's free agency. That's
all in.
Their first signing all was in. A long snapper.
Right. So that was just some of the parts of it. But as far as the Dak Prescott thing is concerned, he did say that he sees continual improvement with Dak Prescott, and they want Dak Prescott back. Cut 1. They want him back.
We want Dak Prescott. So that's that.
There you go. And that's that. And that, my friends,
that's what
is that. That's everything. I mean, I could play you 30 more seconds, but it's that is what's going on.
I got a theory.
Oh, go.
Can we play the quote about where he's running the option? Jerry's running the option.
Yeah, great. Jerry, as a GM and an owner, feels like he runs the option like a quarterback would.
It's called option.
Yeah.
A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step. Decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn upfield with it. Then he's still got a pitch left. So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem. That's working the problem. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. And I can go right out to the damn sideline and still leave a pitch in me. So I can do that. And that's just a style.
Okay. First of all, that's objectively hysterical. I'm picturing Jerry running the option back in his Arkansas days. Here is what I think is in the back of his mind.
Okay.
I think he thinks maybe I have an option in this year's draft to leverage against Dak. Does that possibly mean I'm taking a quarterback? If Michael Penix is there at 24, he's saying, well, I want to see where the draft falls.
Right.
Maybe that's where he's going. Maybe he's sneakily saying, oh, I'm going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
That's my option. And that gives me all the power over Dak. And then I don't have to sign Dak. So he's waiting to see where the cards fall. Again, I'm assigning logic
here. That's generous. No.
Yeah, that's the option. His option pitch is to draft a quarterback here.
Yeah, I mean, we should already say that they spent the first 25 minutes of this hour press conference just simply talking about how great the offensive line and what a priority it is. And they kind of felt like they were leaning that way, but who knows? Jerry's trying to tell you he still's got maneuvers left.
Right.
And he's also trying to tell you that his negotiating style is thus. He doesn't want to reset the market, even though he's going to end up doing it anyway. He wants to wait and see about CeeDee Lamb, about Parsons, and about Dak Prescott. And Stephen Jones at one point says, listen, you don't think the agents for all these guys are talking to each other. The agents are talking, and they're going to try to figure out how they want to reset the market. And I think everyone in the room said to the Cowboys, well, listen, you can reset the market now or later, because these guys are going to get paid at the top. Congratulations, you drafted great players, and now it's time for them to get paid. So if you want to keep them, most likely you're going to end up resetting the market unless something, you know, unforeseen happens, like they take less money or I don't know what.
Or he gets rid of them.
But I really don't think they're getting rid of Lamb and Parsons. I think that'd be crazy.
Well, Lamb and Parsons, no, they're going to pay them. I think the Dak, will they get rid of? I'm going back to this quarterback thing. He wanted to draft Manziel in 2014. Everybody knew that.
Right.
And they had Tony Romo in his prime that he wanted. And then he famously in 2016 wanted to draft Paxton Lynch, still had Tony Romo, ended up missing on Paxton Lynch and got Dak Prescott. I think his big play here is a draft, and maybe he might, or maybe he drafts a wide receiver to leverage CeeDee Lamb. I think he's like, well, I can't get all three. One of them has to be replaced, and it won't be Parsons. He's untouchable.
Right.
So the question is, are they going to play hardball, try and get a cheaper version of Dak or CeeDee?
Listen, it would be a statement. It certainly would. It'd be a hell of a negotiating tactic, and I would think that Jerry may have his fastball back if they actually did. Now, the problem is, if you take a Penix or something, that's a guy who is kind of ready to go. You know, is he really going to sit for a season behind Dak Prescott?
Sure, one year, I guess.
He could. But he's already, isn't he 23, 24?
He's 23, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, who cares?
No, I get it. Quarterbacks are playing later. But again, if you're trying to win on a quarterback's rookie deal, and I know it's just 1 year, but if you are trying to win on the rookie deal, you kind of want to, especially with a seasoned quarterback. You know, Michael Penix was, what, 4 years at Indiana and then 2 years at Washington? Or 3 years at Indiana?
I think it was 3 years. But
He's played a lot of football. I don't know if this is somebody who needs to be sitting.
Well, yeah, but you want to win on the rookie contract, but I don't think anyone's ever really won
the first year. No.
The first year, you're not going to win, so it's the second year, because Mahomes won his second year, right? He sat the first year and came in his second year, so you're really playing that second year. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not ideal. It's not ideal that you're going to have $60 million of dead cap next year or something. You know, or basically everything about this Dak thing is a mess. But Jerry's running option, Maggie. What you don't understand is there's a flip. He's going to be close to sideline. You think he's running the ball? Nope. Flips it out to the running back. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, I would watch that pick. That is going to be a wild scene because I think Jerry thinks he has a trick in his sleeve. I think he thinks he's smarter than everybody.
You know, I will place a gentlewoman's bet on this one. I think the Cowboys are all smoke here. I really do.
Yeah, they usually are.
I think that the 24th pick and however the board falls to them is going to be safe. It's going to be middle of the road. It's going to make sense. It's going, you know, this is the time of year when they metaphorically duct tape Jerry's mouth shut and bound him and throw him in a closet so that they can make their first round pick. And I think they're going to do, again, metaphorically, I think they're going to do that. He's out there to sell the team and be the showman and sell hope and all in and all that. I think when push comes to shove, they're taking an offensive lineman or something like that.
Right. Well, I think, honestly, they better focus on interior defense. Like the middle of the field defense is a disaster right now. Yeah, you're right. They could replace Tyron Smith. You're right. They always go with the boring pick, which is so funny because they project this image that they are the spicy Dallas team. You never know what they're going to do. I don't know. It's just like he's been talking all in. At some point, does he have to deliver in any real way on this all-in promise?
All in.
No, because he's the owner of the team and the GM. He's accountable to nobody except himself.
So he can just keep saying whatever he wants?
I mean, other GMs can't act like this because they're worried about their jobs. He's not. So that's why he can say these kinds of things and nobody really can hold him accountable because the buck stops with him.
Yeah, this is really good. I can't argue against that because he wanted Johnny and he took Zach Martin. Brilliant move.
Yeah, brilliant. You guys go to the Hall of Fame.
I think last year, by the way, he did not want the draft. They drafted Mozzie Smith at 26.
Interior defense.
They clearly wanted the guy that Buffalo took, Dalton Kincaid, who went 25. The Bills traded above the Cowboys. So they just can't. They can't get the sexy pick. They keep on getting these linemen.
So two more things about Jerry here. Number one, I think everyone has had a boss like this at some point. You know, like Jerry's the kind of boss I'm starting to feel like. He's the kind of boss who speaks in such big, like, metaphors and never really gets to the point. And he's one of those bosses where you just leave the meeting and you're so confused. Like, what does this guy want me to do? Am I supposed to, I'm going on the road. I'm not going on the road. I'm turning in the reports. I'm not turning in the reports. Like, what does this guy want? Like,
And I can go right out to the damn sideline and still leave a pitch in me.
All right, so go out there and let's improve our bottom line. Like, okay, boss, got it. Like, what the hell did he want us to do?
All in.
You're in sports media. You've never heard the word bottom line in your life.
different kind of bottom line, bro.
Yeah. I understand. But at a certain point, Jerry's got to make a move. He's, what is he, 81 now? 80, 81? He's like, man, before I die, I'm going to make one pick. Give me one pick. Move over Will McLean. Move over Steven. Just give me the remote. I am making this choice. I tell you, there's one more pick left in this man, Maggie.
Like Ezekiel Elliott was probably the last pick he had. And now he's got another one. Another random one here from Jerry when he talks about where they are in the draft. And, you know, they're picking 24th, right? So... well, what does that exactly mean?
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
Wait a minute. That's not how this goes. That's not how this thing works.
Sounds right to me.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
You're the 24th best team, so that's why you're picking 24th?
That's why the Chiefs are picking 32.
The 32nd best team. And that's what everyone says about this dynasty.
Yeah, no, Jerry's lost it, no doubt, but it's still entertaining.
That one was funny because that comes after this really long, like, back and forth with Jane Slater and all these other reporters about what the salary cap is. So Jerry's explaining it to everyone like they're five. And I get it, fine. But then he goes and says this right after. And it's like, huh. It's like, nobody should question my negotiating style because we're the 24th best team in the NFL. Yeah. That's why we're picking 24th. Like, wait, what?
Well, they play like it in a playoff game.
That's true.
It was just... maybe the most accurate thing he said in that entire press conference.
Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules.
Jerry's playing by a different set of rules, guys. We don't even know these rules. They're somewhere.
I mean, this press conference confirmed to me that he has nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboys' success over the last 3 years. Nothing. I'm not giving them any credit. And I've been someone who's defended Jerry Jones because of the rosters he's put together that I think are still pretty damn good.
Wait, EJ, have you ever seen their war room? You remember last year?
Looks like the Death Star.
Yeah, they picked Deuce Vaughn, right? And his father works for the team. So the viral video of all of them celebrating. And Jerry's in the middle. How many people are in that room? 50?
Yeah.
He's not doing anything.
He's not doing anything.
No.
Because there's
it's
no
emeritus
way,
at this point.
I know that they struggle in the playoffs. I know that they choke all the time. There's no way that that guy I saw who was talking about option pitches and being the 24th best team in the NFL is putting together rosters are winning 12 games a year. There's no way.
EJ, the way you know that Jerry's not making these picks is because by the time he gets through all that explanation about the option quarterback and all that, the time's up. Your 10 minutes is up. Goodell's already moved on to the next team. If they let Jerry do this, they'd never make a pick. So it's
incredible.
Yeah, no, he's
a lot
he's
of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it
with
another
the first
step.
Pick.
Decide whether to pitch it or not.
The Jets
He'll
are on the clock
whether
now.
To turn upfield with it. Then he's
Thank
still
you
got
for joining
a pitch
us
left.
At the NFL draft.
So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem.
Day two is tomorrow. Yeah.
That's working the problem. I've spent my life.
All right, we're starting day two of the draft.
Quarterback.
Who's the best
and
available
I can go
left
right
in
out
day
to
two?
The damn sideline and still leave a pitch in me.
All right, day three in the draft.
So
here we
I
go.
I can do that.
Round
that's
four.
Just a style.
And Mr. Irrelevant is Brock Purdy. There you go. And that puts a wrap on it.
But can I ask
Thank
you guys,
Detroit.
Going under on Dallas? Like, they can't keep doing this, right? They're going to fall. They're not going to win 12 games this year. Well, tell me they're not going to win 12.
They basically said we've been charging things on a credit card since Dak has been getting paid, now we can't do that anymore.
I just looked at their win total.
Whose fault is that?
It's 9.5. They've been blowing away there. They've been over on their win total 4 years in a row. I'm a little worried. Like as an Eagles fan, I listen. I'm like, oh wow, they're a mess in Dallas. But you guys just convinced me that Jerry's a mess. But there's somebody smart back there. This makes me nervous again.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. I like that question. Does Jerry deserve any credit for these 12 win seasons that the Cowboys have been putting together? Listen, in the playoffs, it hasn't gone their way. But does he deserve credit for these good teams that that the Cowboys have been putting together? Now, Leland's in Sacramento, big 49er fan, so probably loves hearing all this nonsense from Jerry Jones. Leland, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Maggie. I'm doing good. Jerry Jones, he is the man. I mean, you know, I have elderly people in my family, and nobody can even keep up with this guy. At 81 years old, but he can even, you know, form some kind of relevant conversation. I want to say, I'll tip my hat to him. God bless him.
Leland, that's the right attitude about Jerry's press conference. Just happy that he's there. He made it. He's dressed. He probably drove himself there. All that good stuff.
That's the only thing he does in these 12 seasons. Uh-huh. He signs the checks.
Yeah, he signs the checks. Work. Yep, because of the oil money and the cowboy money. What else you got, Leland?
Absolutely. Hey, I was curious what you guys think is going on with the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. I think the 49ers are posturing to trade him and let him go. It seems like their strategy is to avoid high-paying people, try to save money for Brock Purdy. You know, they got rid of Eric Armstead, and I think there's other 49ers that are getting have big contracts that could be dealt with in the coming years. But I think Brandon's done. Mm-hmm. It seems like John Lynch said we can't have everybody, and he said that in the media.
Yeah,
David Lombardi is reporting, no, they're going to keep him. And other people are saying, no, they're going to let him go. What do you guys think? Because I can't really get a beat on it.
Yep, Leland, great question. And could be one of the big stories of the draft. We've seen wide receivers get traded on draft night before. A.J. Brown famously to Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles stunned everybody. This could be the story coming out of round one.
I heard someone, some report, maybe it was Schefter, saying they want a pick in the 20s for Brandon Ayuk. There's no way this is happening because Tyreek Hill got a pick in the 20s. Devontae Adams got a pick in the 20s. Yeah. And A.J. Brown got a pick in the 20s. Brandon Ayuk is not on that level. Am I wrong about Brandon Ayuk? Like, there's no, because you're paying for you're trading a pick for the right to pay this guy a ton of money. And I'm sorry, he's on the next tier to me. I do not want to trade up a huge asset to pay him $30 million a year. There's no way I'm doing that.
I'll tell you who I'm nervous about.
Who, the Jags? Oh.
No. My Buffalo Bills. Now, I don't I would like to think that they wouldn't do it, 28. I would like to think that they wouldn't do it because I think you're right. I love Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. I think he's great. $30 million feels a little steep for him. That's a lot. And you just are kind of getting off of paying Stephon Diggs. Do I think Ayuk is as good as Diggs was when they made that trade and paid Diggs? I do not. I do like Ayuk, but I could see the Bills, you know, if they're feeling desperate, if they're feeling like, hey, we're ready to win now, I don't know if we trust a rookie receiver to come in and contribute right away, and we still want to show everybody how all in we are and how Josh Allen and the window hasn't closed. I could see the Bills being there. I hope they don't, but...
Yeah, I know he's talking about that Lombardi report. I agree with all the reporting that says that they're not going to get what they want for Ayuk. So if you're the Niners and you're on the verge of a Super Bowl, would you trade Brandon Ayuk for a third-round pick? No, right?
Well, the question is, would he show up, and is he going to be a pain in the you-know-what if he doesn't get paid this year because he'd be going into the contract year? Nick Bosa didn't show up, and Debo held in, and there's been a precedent here where these guys, you know, they hold out or hold in until they get paid.
Yeah, I still would risk it because unless you're going to get something, what are you going to get? It's not worth it to me. I would just hold on to him. I do not think a first round pick happens at all.
What about a second? I mean, if you get a high second, I think you're doing it.
A high second? Again, I don't think a team wants to do that. I really don't think people view Ayuk that way. I could be dead wrong, but
okay,
a high second.
Well, even like the Chargers or something. Now, the Chargers, that might be
little tough. No, they have cap issues already.
And they've got some cap issues, but again, like...
Yeah, I understand. Everyone would want a Brandon Ayuk, but there are these teams that would want him in the position to pay him what he wants. I think it's going to be hard to make all those puzzle pieces fit.
Yeah, this is the one thing I'm looking at. I think this guy could get traded, this guy, Brandon Ayuk. I think that he could get traded on Thursday. Thursday or Friday, actually. I'm going to leave myself open for both days. I think he could be the blockbuster trade that goes down in round one or in round two.
If you're the Niners and the second round pick and you're on the verge of a Super Bowl, would you give up your number one receiver for a second round pick?
I think they would because, again, they've paid everybody and they still need to pay Purdy. And that's going to happen not this season, but next season. And I think they would try to trade Debo if they could, but I think you're getting more for Ayuk than Debo. And I think they would probably look at themselves, look at this draft, say, wow, this is a deep wide receiver draft. Brock can throw the ball to anyone. You still have the most important pieces there, which are Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey, and I think they would do it.
All right. Yeah. We'll see.
855-212-4227. Okay. Coming up next, lots to do, including a sleeper team who could be on the clock for QB. Get to that next. Maggie Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Infinity Sports Network. We get to sleeper teams who need a quarterback or might be picking a quarterback in just a moment because I got to bring you this. I thought this was a headline that I didn't really believe. And this is attractive women apparently make men tell the truth more. And so let me tell you what I'm talking about. Attractive women inspire men to tell the truth and women to lie. This is according to a study in the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization. The research aimed to reveal how a woman's appearance impacts the moral behavior of others. So according to this study, 110 individuals, a questionnaire with an image of a woman attached, they falsely told the participants that the woman in the picture was the scientist who was leading the study. So they gave half the questionnaires a picture of a woman who is very typically attractive and the other a less attractive woman. And they found out that men were more likely to behave more honestly when they believed they were interacting with a beautiful woman, while the opposite pattern was seen in female participants who exhibited, quote, a beauty penalty toward attractive women. That's what the study showed. Now, let's take the women's side about this away for a second. Let's just focus on the men's side for this. In any of our real life instances, do you find that men tell the truth more to attractive women, or do they lie more to attractive women? Because I kind of feel like it's the latter.
Yeah, that would be the cliche. You would lie to a pretty woman.
Yeah, right. And apparently it's not true. Apparently men are getting really honest when women are the more beautiful they are, according to this study.
Wait, I'm having a little trouble understanding. Are you more likely to believe a pretty woman? Is that part of this too? Is it also?
It was answer the questions honestly.
So it's more, okay.
It's a questionnaire and you're answering it more honestly when you believe the person who's giving you the questions is a very attractive person.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. I mean, attractive people seem to have more power because you want to please them.
Is that it? I always thought is like, you know, men, you know, are by attractive woman. All of a sudden they're on the cell phone. They're like, all right, close the deal. I don't care if it's a half a mil. I said, get that deal done. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you right there. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, I shout out to the people who tried to make the study, I guess. Yeah. I don't think that this was a very scientific way to do this.
Yeah.
Because a picture saying this is a person that came up with these questions, I don't think that really matters as much. I think this is a little more random.
It's not the real life interaction of being at the bar.
If you're in front of a person or you're actually trying to, I don't know, trying to bag a girl or whatever. Yeah. The more likely scenario is the hotter they are, the more you try to embellish what you do, who you are. It's just a fact. That's why when men are 5'9" and they say they're 6 foot in their dating profile, this is why they do that. Because they want to try to attract the most attractive people.
Yeah.
This is common sense. I don't understand this.
Well, because I think the flaw might be that they're not talking exclusively, right, about just like flirting. Like these are actual conversations.
I don't know the nature of the questions, but yeah, are you more likely to get super honest, vulnerable, something like that? I would think no. I think that men, if they're, you know, if there's a pretty woman even in the vicinity, all of a sudden all the vulnerability seems to go away and you're trying to project more, you know, confidence and all that.
Who ran this study? An attractive woman and a male?
It was a sorority. It was a bunch of hot girls at Delta Gamma.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. they're now running studies in the
EJ Stewart study is just watch any NBA or any NFL athlete talking to Taylor Rooks and how many lies that come out, and that study will tell you that the hotter the woman, the more lies that come out of the men.
That is the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization. I don't know if they're fans of Taylor's pod, but I do know that I am. I love Taylor. She's a friend. And also, yes, men are basically tripping over themselves to impress her. All right. Bogish is here. He's got headlines. Hello.
Hello again. The LA Clippers had Kawhi Leonard on the floor for the first time since March 31st for Game 2 with the Mavs, but maybe that was the problem. The Clippers settling for a split at home, losing Game 2, 96-93. Luka and Kyrie combining for 55 points. Kawhi had 15, 7 of 17 shooting over 35 minutes.
Just been rehabbing, trying to get on the floor. But, you know, we still got more games to play, more time to get better, and, you know, that's what I'm focused on.
Still no Giannis for the Bucks. They fall at home to the Pacers, 125-108, so that series 1-1 as well. Damian Lillard, another big first half, 26 points, but only 8 in the second. Pascal Siakam led Indy with 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. The T-Wolves got a postseason career-high 25 points from Jaden McDaniels in a 105-93 decision over the Suns. McDaniels also had a huge role in keeping Phoenix's big three to 18 of 45 shooting.
It's a great feeling. I mean, not playing last year, I was like kind of antsy to play this, like the first game and this game. So just being in this environment and being in the playoffs, I mean, it's like a dream come true for me.
The T-Wolves have a 2-0 series lead for just the second time in team history. Sixers guard Tyrese Maxey had an up and down Tuesday. He's the NBA's most improved player after making his first All-Star game and setting career highs in multiple categories, including points, assists, and threes. But then the league told him he was fouled twice in the final seconds of their Game 2 loss at the Knicks. The refs missed those calls. One Nick Nurse timeout request, 4 total calls, but no excuses for Maxey.
We still had a chance to win the game. I got my layup blocked, and then, you know, we missed a three at the end to tie. So we can't dwell on that. We can't lead the games in other people's hands. We got to go out there and take
it. And specifically for him, one of the fouls that wasn't called was him getting knocked to the court and then throwing the ball away.
Wait, so the NBA...
I got to be strong with the ball. I got to be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I got to be able to just hug it and call a timeout. But, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. You got to let it go. I mean, you can't dwell on it now.
Good DJ on TNT.
I was like, wow, that made that a lot more upbeat. Okay, so here's my big question. All those missed fouls, I want to get Perloff's thoughts on this in a second, but they are acknowledging that Nick Nurse did call the timeout?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but I'm not sure if this is the video that was circulating of him not making a strong enough timeout call, but he should have been given a timeout on the inbounds or before the inbounds pass in between the Brunson and DiVincenzo threes. That's the timeout that the ref should have seen and granted him.
Oh, okay. So not the timeout when Maxie's on the floor.
No, that's the one that I think there's the video people are sharing where he kind of half-heartedly calls timeout and then recoils.
Yeah.
They were also asking for time before that inbounds, and that's the one they should have been given.
Okay, got it. So that was Lowry who was inbounding, right?
I think so,
I think so. Interesting.
First of all, what is this stupid committee? Everyone who watched that game knows that Maxie was mugged three times, and everyone saw Nick Nurse touch his hands together, hence signaling timeout. This is so stupid. They should not do this review.
Does this make that so? That loss yesterday,
no.
You said was torturous.
Yeah, it was
gut wrenching, awful. The broadcast had said, the Sixers broadcast had said on the air, the game is won. We're going back down I-95 with a W. Yeah. Stole home court. None of that ends up being true. Knicks end up winning, going up 2-0. You are devastated by this. Does this make you feel better at all?
No, I think they should. Honestly, I'm being totally serious. They should end the two-minute report because someone's getting paid to say, like, honestly, a five-year-old could have seen those were all fouls. So what are we doing here? What's the point of that?
Well,
report?
Here's my question.
There's
about
no it. Single point. Every single person knew those were fouls.
So here's my question about it, though. If you are calling the games differently now,
yeah,
right.
It's like
pro wrestling. We've acknowledged since January they're calling the games differently. It's a little more prison rules.
Physical.
It's a lot more physical. The game, the scores are lower. And so how do you say in the last 2-minute report it should have been a foul? Because the way the game was being called, we have no idea what a foul is anymore.
Great point.
We have no idea what kind of too physical of a play is considered a foul.
I mean, to be honest, I don't take much credence in these 2-minute rules or 2-minute warnings or whatever they call them. Either because I feel like in the same thing, they said Josh Hart wasn't pushed or that it was marginal contact on the inbound.
Yeah, he got pushed off too.
Right, which he clearly got pushed off. Right. I really think these things are purely for, they think they're satisfying the fans. And I think that there was there was a big uproar. So say, hey, let's just let Nick Nurse clearly faked a timeout and like did all this stuff. And they're like, oh no, he deserved a timeout, even though the ball was loose. I mean, like some of this stuff didn't really make sense. So,
oh come on,
no, it's true. it's true. He called the timeout and the ball was in the air, and then he called the timeout and the ball was loose. So
well, they're
now
saying he should have gotten the timeout before the ball was inbounded.
When? He didn't call a timeout then.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember. Maybe we got a Zapruder film this thing. I don't remember him calling timeout before Lowry inbounded the ball.
No,
I thought that was Lowry being inexplicably a veteran who's won a title, rushing that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this thing was done purely to say, hey, you know, people are upset and they're questionable those calls. Let's just say that, hey, the Sixers, you should have got these calls and let's move on. But unfortunately, it keeps the story going. It
so you're saying
the opposite.
That was all inaccurate, what was in the 2-minute report? Just to be clear.
I think that if you want to say it was a foul, fine. To say that he deserved those timeouts is insane.
Okay, so
here's
the next
question.
There's
another way of saying that. So it was a foul.
So here's the next question. Yeah. What happens in game 3?
Because
you have got the officials in the league publicly stating, we may have determined the outcome of the game. I know Maxie's not saying that, and the players aren't saying it, but we may have altered the outcome of the game by our no calls and by not granting the timeout. So how do the refs approach game 3? Like, does every call go the 76ers' way?
No.
I mean, it's probably because calls incredibly tight. Sorry, Bogus.
No, that's okay, but they do this for every game.
Right.
Like, there's a report of this for every game, so this is not an exception. The game 3 officiating is going to be the game 3 officiating, and if you want to believe the NBA is going to, you know, push this way or push that way or assign this guy to that game, but this report was going to come out no matter what. They do it for every single game, so I don't know that this directly affects game 3.
Well, I guess where I would say it's different, playoffs number one, but also, and I know they do it for every game in the playoffs, but also there is a school of thought out there that if Nick Nurse gets that timeout, they win the game. So
yeah. I mean, like I'm watching again. He's clearly putting his hands together when Lowry's back.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like,
but it's not the Tubman report. It's everybody saw this game too. Anyone outside of New York thinks that Maxie got pushed down and Nick Nurse called a timeout.
They also think Josh Hart got pushed. I mean, there's a lot of people who felt like they got pushed. So
well, yeah, but
the timeout is that's where I find that this is fascinating because the timeout was a major point of contention, still is, between Perloff and EJ. And again, I think if they just get that timeout, which is a procedural thing, that's not a push. It's not a judgment call. If you give them the timeout, I think the Sixers win.
Well, yeah, I think also, too, I think the fact that Maxie, whether he was pushed or he looked like he got thrown to the ground. I mean, there's no other foul like this. The key play of the game.
Right.
It sure looked like Maxie got thrown to the ground. I think everybody saw
Again, if they get the timeout, they advance the ball to half court and you're running a set. So it's just a totally different thing.
I think it's the Maxie push that is more on people's minds. I think that, I mean, the timeout's barely on camera, but everyone sees that they're trying to imbalance it and two Knicks players push him to the ground. I mean, that. I know, like, they were calling the game aggressively, but that was unbelievable that they didn't call that play.
What else we got, Bubs?
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers needed overtime to take a 2-0 lead on the Lightning, 3-2. The game winner from Carter Verhaeghe. The Rangers up 2-0 on the Caps, a 4-3 home win. But the Canucks settle for a split, losing at home in Game 2 to Nashville, 4-1. The Avalanche avoid 0-2 with a 5-2 win in Winnipeg. The NFL says it's tampering investigations of the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. The Eagles and Saquon Barkley will not be concluded before tomorrow. So if anyone's losing draft picks for this, it will not be until 2025. And baseball last night, the White Sox lost again, 6-5 to the Twins. They are now 3-20. But the Guardians do improve to an MLB best, 17-6, 4-1 over the Red Sox. This matches the best 23-game start in Cleveland history. Guys, back to you.
All right, what are we going to do about this as a show here with the White Sox? Are we just going to start fading them? Like, how can we take advantage? That's not going to be, like, a good enough value, but how are we going to use this awful season for our personal game?
How about we offer our services as all co-general managers for the team?
Yeah, see, I don't want to get that involved.
I want to. I am volunteering to be the general manager of the Chicago White Sox for free.
Wow.
I will be the general manager for Chicago White Sox for free for 1 year to help them turn it around.
What's the first move you're going to make?
I'll respond by saying, you couldn't pay me to work for Jerry Reinsdorf.
That's a tough one. What would be your first move, Pete? As White Sox GM,
I would clear out the coaching staff. That's it. Start there, and let's get some people in there to hold accountability to players.
Who would you hire? If you could hire anybody.
What's with the groan, Bogus? Mike, how are you as a manager?
Please.
Hey?
I'll take
Bogus
it.
Doesn't like to travel that much.
We know he doesn't like Chicago because his son, Perloff, is driving there to go to San Antonio.
Yeah, and that's basically why
Chicago,
he didn't want to go.
Yeah, I don't like Chicago on the way to San Antonio, but Chicago by itself is fine. And I don't have any principal, so I would get paid to work for Jerry Reinsdorf and for Pete Bilotti. So if they are looking for a manager, sign me up.
Yeah, on my list would be Bogus and Buck Showalter. I would interview those two first.
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Yep, I would interview those two first and some others. I have to go through the cavalcade of people.
I thought that you would say pie in the sky. You're doing everything you can to get Bruce Bochy. But it's going to be hard to drag him away from Texas right now.
Hey,
under contract.
Bruce, come to a team that's 3-22. It's not going to happen. we have to be honest with ourselves.
Might need him, though.
No.
Here's another question. Who's going to be the first team that's just going to have a robot just be the general manager? And would the robot be better at?
I think Vegas. The Vegas A's.
Just like whatever. Remember Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey? Just whatever that Watson, what is that? It, like, competed on Jeopardy against humans.
It has to be Vegas, right? I mean, they're the team that like is the cheapest. They've been the team that is
the
most.
A's. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They're the A's now, still in Oakland, soon to be in Sacramento.
They should have a robot owner. Yeah. I mean, that would take care of a lot of problems with them.
They're the team that has the least shame, so they would be they have to be the pick.
Just AI GM.
I would wonder though, EJ, would a robot manager be cheap? I don't know how much something like that would cost, and then upkeep and software updates. That might be more expensive than a
part of the
manager.
Union. I don't know.
The initial face value is probably cheap, but then as you said, the upkeep. and, right. and making sure it has fuel and everything.
I know one thing. The first one to hack the manager will be the Houston Astros.
That is true. No scruples whatsoever.
Why are we putting our starter back in there for the ninth inning? I don't get it. Pitching a lefty with a lefty up at the plate? What's going on?
Yeah, right. Soft tossing lefty to Mike Trout, huh? Interesting. Something can't do the software update also during a doubleheader because that's going to be tough. And then, you know, time.
Baseball's so crazy now that, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, we're starting an opener today. So we're going to throw the guy that has a, you know, 70 ERA, but it's a long release. He's going to start today. And so many think, oh, you know what? They're going to find some, like, sabermetric to say, no, this makes sense. Yes. Yeah. Putting out an opener for the fourth day in a row actually makes sense.
I just want to see, like, a robot go, like, wheel itself to home plate and, like, kick dirt on, you know, like, Hunter Wentelstadt's shoe.
I thought the robot would be the most dangerous.
I didn't say anything. It was a fan.
He would be the most dangerous manager when it comes to those, like, confrontation. Right. If you think about
it. It's a Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
The laser eyes.
All right, we probably run that joke into the ground. Thank you, everybody. 855-212-4227. Coming up, okay, we will do our sleeper team to pick an NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Quarterback next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, NFL draft first round is tomorrow. Perloff and I both have our sleeper NFL teams who could be, and I think will be, in the market for a quarterback. This is a team nobody's talking about. Not the Vikings and the Broncos and the Raiders. Those are all the easy ones. The team, I believe, who is going to be looking for a quarterback who nobody is talking about, the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Cleveland Browns traded their first-round pick to the Minnesota Vikings, so this would have to be a second-round situation. But the Cleveland Browns, to me, Perloff, are a team that's sneaky in need of a quarterback. And you could say, Maggie, they just paid the most guaranteed money ever for Deshaun Watson, and he still has 3 years left on his deal. That's correct. Deshaun Watson has also played 12 games in three seasons. And not only that, and I know it's hard to get accurate injury information from anyone, really, this is being labeled as a very serious shoulder injury he's coming back from. By all accounts, this started in week three. He still played with the torn labrum and all the ligaments fragmented and frayed. A bone broke off one of his, broke off at one point. I'm not a doctor here, but it's a serious shoulder injury. Now, the Browns signed Jameis Winston as their backup quarterback, sort of maybe anticipating that they were going to need some extra help this year. Mm-hmm. They also signed Snoop Huntley. They signed two backup quarterbacks, essentially. They needed four backup quarterbacks to get through last season alone. So I know they owe him a lot of money, and it's all guaranteed, and it's $60-plus million a year. I think Cleveland has to be looking quarterback of the future here, even with years left on Deshaun's contract.
So, but let me ask you a question, though. Yeah. It sounds like you need a guy who can step in and play. If you're talking like 50, that's like Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler.
Yep.
Is that good enough? This team is ready to win a Super Bowl right now, or at least, you know, be in that kind of playoff. Like, is a second round pick going to do the trick for that? Like, Michael Pratt, is he really? I don't know. I feel like would you just describe a thing where Deshaun Watson's not going to be ready? Like, I want a veteran in there, but this team is ready to go.
Well, again, they've got Jameis and they've got Snoop Huntley and DTR, by the way, who they drafted last year, Dorian Thompson Robinson. But I think it's starting to become a much more acute situation for the Browns than anyone ever thought when they signed Deshaun Watson and made that big trade. because you thought, oh, now you've got your guy for the future. Do you? Now you're 3 years left on this deal. Yeah. You've got nothing to show for it.
So, but how, is there any chance that they trade up to get one of the big guys?
So here's the picks they have: 54, 85, then 156, 206. I mean, this is something where I think if Pratt or somebody, you know, Pratt yesterday was someone who our pal Jim Nagy thought very highly of.
Yes.
Tulane quarterback, a lot of experience, big games where he's won.
Guys, you ever wait till you want to hear a tearjerker? Wait till that guy's draft night story. He's got the wildest tearjerker. He lost everybody in his life. He's had a lot of tragedy. Let's put it that way. The one thing, all right, I'm going to go with my surprise team. I'm going to go a little higher. I think the team to watch, I'm tempted to do Atlanta at 8, but I'm going to go with another NFC South team. How about New Orleans at 14?
Yep.
Because talking about a guy who can't stay healthy, Derek Carr.
Yep.
I just think you're an indoor team. Like, you want to, it's about time that you have a star quarterback in there. And I think if Penix falls and he's sitting there, I keep on linking Penix to all the dome teams. I just feel like a clean area where he could throw. I think it's time New Orleans ripped the Band-Aid and said, you know what? We like Derek Carr. He's good when he's on the field. We need to build a real team here and look bigger picture and be a perennial playoff team. Derek Carr feels like a Band-Aid. I think New Orleans would be a great fit for Penix because you have seen in that dome a high-flying offense. He reminds me a little bit of Breeze. He's going to stay in the pocket. He's not going to run. He's going to distribute the ball. I would love to see them. Everyone, I know they need a left tackle desperately, and it's a left tackle draft. Maybe they get that guy lower and just take a risk. And 14 is a good spot. You're not killing yourself to get a quarterback, so why not go there?
There you go. Sleeper teams to draft a quarterback high. First two rounds. Perloff thinks it could be the New Orleans Saints with that 14th pick. I think it could be the Cleveland Browns with the 54th pick. A little bit different calculus there. How about you? The team you may be expecting to take a quarterback that no one's talking about. Also, it's Wednesday. We've got the great debate next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.